I do have to think in times like this, and how appropriate the song and timely, I guess, is, the troublesome times are here, if any man's hearts with fears. But really, it's not a time of fear. It's just an opportunity that we have to look more introspectively and maybe our lives, and to maybe learn some lessons. And indeed, I remember thinking that when this first came out, that surely it won't be around but a few months. It's what, almost a year now that it's been going on, but we're still here. What a joy it is to be able to gather together, and for the opportunity that we have. And I've never been more proud of 18 people in my life. I'm proud as I can be that you're here, and thank you so much for being a part and for all of those. And we want to, of course, continue to keep those in mind that are at home with COVID. A few years ago, we were introduced to a new term. We always get new phrases that kind of define our generation in many ways. And unfortunately, it's good or bad, whatever it is. One of the terms that we're not, we realize is not new anymore is the term fake news. I guess if there's anything that's going to be attributed to Donald Trump and his presidency, it's going to be that term that he used about fake news. Well, the problem with that is that he did not invent that name. This was something that the Apostle Paul said 2,000 years ago. Our text this morning in the book of Galatians in chapter 1, and we're going to read in the first few verses there is just our emphasis is what Scott read a moment ago. Hey, Kelly, is that a little loud? Can you turn that down? It sounds loud to me. Am I loud? Okay, I've got a big mouth. Don't mess it. It's okay. It just sounded, maybe it's the echo. It just sounded different. When Paul was writing to the churches of Galatia, he had a problem. The problem was that in this day of the early church, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as we've talked about in our Bible class, and the establishment of churches all over, and the wonderful work that's being done. I mean, the churches were growing everywhere. There were churches all over Galatia. This book is not written to a single congregation, but rather to a lot of different kind of congregations. The way that Paul begins his letter tells you the tone of his message. Normally, when Paul begins a letter, he begins by praise and commendation to the churches receiving the epistle. That's not the way he starts this letter. Because the way he starts it in verse 6 is that he says that I marvel, or as the version says, I am amazed, or I am amazed. And the reason is because he's a little shocked in some ways, and he's a little frustrated probably in the fact that there's something that's happened among the churches of Galatia in which he worked that concerns him. And so the source of his amazement was that they were so quickly deserting Jesus Christ. It seemed to be incredulous to Paul that these saints in whom he had spent many days and times with and helped establish these congregations and knew many of these people personally, that he is saying that I don't understand how you can so quickly desert him who called you, or you can turn away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a rebuke in the beginning by just showing that that's really what's happening. And that was astounding. He just could not believe it. The idea that is given, I think, at the King James is that he marveled, or in the ESV, that he was astonished. And so when you've got the Apostle Paul is writing to this church, he says, listen, folks, I'm just in shock. I don't know what's going on here. You've heard me preach the gospel of Christ. You know who I am. You know what you're supposed to be doing. And they believed it. They obeyed it. They were doing good. But they were turning away. Now, they were not becoming unbelievers. They were not totally walking away from the truth. But to attach themselves to another form of teaching was dangerous. And he's concerned about that. And he's upset about it. And what he does is he says what they're turning to, it's an interesting use of terms, what he says is they're turning to is that they're turning to a different gospel, or another gospel, which is really not another. Now that gets to be a little confusing, because he says that, you're going to a different gospel which is not another, and really there's two Greek words that are used here. They were turning to something of a different kind, when there is no other gospel that is of the same kind. And he was upset that they would accept this other gospel, that they would accept this other form of teaching. And so the tone of the letter begins by saying, we've got a problem, and I'm a little upset about this. Then particularly the time frame, that you're marveled that you're turning away so soon. I mean, we thought we had you grounded. We thought we had you where you was at. Because you know the preaching of the Apostle Paul when he writes to Corinth. Listen, I preach Christ. Paul never taught the will of man. Paul was not impressed with the philosophies of men. He was a very educated man. We could say that he had a PhD in the Jewish doctrines because he was a rabbi. He taught or sat at the feet of Gamaliel. So, you know, he knew all of that, but he preached Christ and him crucified. And yet these people that he had taught, what are they doing? And so quickly they had turned away. Now what Paul had told them, I'm sure, is that there's only one gospel. And we realize that when we talk about the gospel, we're not talking about any other gospel. We're talking about the gospel. In the gospel, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 4 and verse 23, it's called the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Jesus and John the Baptist came preaching. And the gospel, the good news of the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, it is described as the gospel of the grace of God, which of course it is, because it is the message of God's salvation to all men, that in this New Testament time, this is what's going to save you, not the blood of bulls and goats. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, this gospel that they have gone and preached. You remember Jesus telling his disciples to go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. This is called the gospel of your salvation in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. This is not just merely preaching words. These are the words that are going to save you. And then finally in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, he calls it the gospel of peace because that's where men find. So what Paul has been doing is he's been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of salvation, and the gospel of peace. But after he leaves and these teachers that come in, the brethren are beginning to go over to this other gospel. And Paul is saying, let's back up here a minute. There's only one gospel. There's only one message that you can preach. That's what I have preached. And if the gospel is good news, this different gospel is fake news. And what Paul is trying to encourage them to do is that you need to be able to identify what this is so that you can understand that what you're listening to is indeed something that is very dangerous. And I think that when we look at Galatians chapter 1 and we realize that, okay, this happened 2,000 years ago. It happened in a place far away from here. It happened to different people in a different time. Then maybe that doesn't happen to us. And I think sometimes we can become rather content in where we are and think, oh, that'll never happen to me, or that will never happen to maybe this congregation or things like that. And of course, God forbid that it does. But that doesn't suggest the possibilities that even in this time, when you have the church beginning to grow and it's multiplying and you've got the apostles going about doing the work, you've got the miracles that are being performed and all of those attributes of the New Testament time, that even in that time, you've got people that are going off the reservation about the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a dire warning that indeed we have to examine today and make sure that the gospel that we have is the gospel of the kingdom, or is the gospel of the grace of God, or the gospel of salvation, because the consequences are eternal. So how do we identify another gospel? How do we know whether this gospel is the true gospel? Well, the first thing I think is that we should consider the source. That's what always we look at something, we think, well, we need to see where it is from. A different gospel, here's the thing. A different gospel is not the gospel of Christ. And that's what he's saying. That you're going after a different gospel. Jesus was the central message. And that's what he, again, emphasizes a lot in his letter to Corinth. That Jesus and him crucified, that is the central message of all gospel preaching. When you read the book of Acts, what did they do? They always preached Jesus. When Peter on the day of Pentecost got up and preached, what did he do? He preached Jesus. Whenever the disciples went about preaching the gospel, what did they do? They preached Jesus. If we use the book of Acts many times to show examples of conversion. The book of Acts is also a good example of showing what to preach. or how to preach. And the gospel of Christ is about Him, but it is also the gospel of Christ in that it belongs to Him. You know, when we talk about the gospel of Christ, I think it's fair to say that's His. That's His ownership. He is the message of that book. And so whatever the gospel of Jesus that we're going to preach, it belongs to Him. And what He tells us in Galatians chapter 1, look down at verse 11, because one of the things that they began to do to Paul is they began to attack his apostleship and say, well, you're really not an apostle. Now granted, he was not like the other apostles, the other 11 that came from the ministry of Jesus. Paul was born out of due season and he was called. Of course, we remember he was the guy who was persecuting the church and God called him a little bit later. And so he defends his apostleship, but he says in Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 11 that I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to men. As we read in verse 10, Paul's preaching was not to impress other people. Paul was not in the business of the kingdom or the work of the kingdom to say, listen people, look what a great man. It did not matter. He ruffled a lot of feathers. Matter of fact, he on one occasion was taken out and stoned by the people that heard him. But Paul affirms to them, I'm not here to persuade men. I'm not here to please men. Because if I was preaching to please men, I would be a failure to God. And he says that I did not consult with men. But in verse 11, he said it's not according to men. And yet in verse 12, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the stamp. You know, we're always looking for a stamp of authority. We want to have the stamp to show that that is, approved by a certain group. Paul is simply saying, what I preach didn't come from me. What I preach is purely the Word of God. That made him an apostle as one sent. But he was not sent by men. Go back to verse 1. He affirms this actually in the very beginning. Because he was not sent by men, Paul an apostle, and again, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. All Paul is saying is that I am coming to you with the gospel of Jesus Christ and it's nothing else. If something has been distorted, it's not the same as the original. And when people were coming to the churches of Galatia after Paul left, they were distorting the gospel of Christ. Verse 7. They were troubling them and perverting the gospel of Christ. It did not change the gospel of Christ, but they were perverting it to be something that it was not. And that concerns Paul. It should concern us. Is the fact that here is a gospel that people are preaching, here's a gospel that people are accepting, and it's not true. Now it's either the wrong gospel or not enough of the true gospel. And we find that even today that when we look in the religious world and we find about people who are preaching, and I suspect that in many places, even at this hour, 11:30, there's a lot of churches all over the world that are meeting, and there's people that are up talking, and they're saying things and doing things in the fashion that is described as worship and so forth. But the question is, are all men preaching Jesus Christ? No. Why? Well, because a lot of people are preaching things that don't come from the Word of God. If a man says that he's going to preach Jesus Christ, for example, does he preach what the Bible preaches? I find it fascinating in Acts chapter 8 when Philip is going to be talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian is sitting in his chariot, he's reading Isaiah 53. Old Testament. You know, that part of the Old Testament that you never go to in Bible readings. I mean, whenever you get to the book of Proverbs and you're done, you don't even go to those prophets because that's the heavy, deep stuff. But right there in the middle of Isaiah 53, Philip comes up and he begins at that passage. And what does he do? It simply says that he preaches Jesus. Beginning at that scripture, he began and he did what? He preached Jesus. And while we do not have a record, of course, would it be such a beautiful thing to have a copy of his sermon? I mean, wow, what a sermon to borrow from. And when he opened and he preached Jesus to him, what happened in verse 36? In verse 36, as they're going down, they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, not Philip. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Where did he get that from? He got that from Philip preaching Jesus. All I'm saying is that the gospel of Jesus Christ includes that. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and verse 23, we find that the church and the body are the same. And so the gospel would teach that whatever is said about the church is the same as the body, and whatever is said about the body is the church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul says that there's only one body, which means there's only one church. That's just a part of the one gospel that's being preached and that's being declared in the New Testament times. And then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, when Jesus says that not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he says there's going to be a lot of people. Now think about this. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to come and say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do many wonders in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? I mean, these are religious people. And they're preaching Jesus, and they're doing things in the name of Jesus, and they're proclaiming Jesus. But verse 23 is disturbing. Because then Jesus will say to them, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why? Because they were preaching a different gospel. They were preaching something that was not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening with Paul and the churches of Galatia. They're preaching things that are not according to the will of God. It doesn't matter whether you're a good person. It doesn't matter whether you're a religious person. It doesn't matter whether you show yourself as being a devout religious person in the in the sense of being a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're not doing the will of God, you're not following the gospel. There's only one gospel. And many today deny that God is a God that will punish people. These are just examples. There's a lot of things, obviously, that we see. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 26 that there is a place called eternal torment that's called hell. People don't want to preach that. And what was happening in the days of Paul is the fact that they were preaching another gospel. So it is possible that there were those who were teaching things that were not according to the will of God. And a different gospel comes from a different source. They were using things that did not come from the Word of God. They were establishing authority that did not come from the Word of God. They were teaching things that were not in accordance with the will of God. I mean, our challenge, and that includes what we're doing here this morning, that includes what goes on in this pulpit, and that includes me. You know, it's a little disconcerting, I have to admit, that the people will listen to somebody preach and never, ever, ever open their Bibles to verify whether or not what he is saying is true or not. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do that. But it's a verification process that, you know, people believe in things simply because somebody said it to be true. But there needs to be a book, chapter, and verse. That's the way we describe it. Does this teaching have a book, chapter, and verse? Does this interpretation conflict with other passages in the New Testament? Colossians chapter 1 says that we ought to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. Can it be done with that authority? And as Peter admonishes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if any man speaks, let him speak according to the oracles of God. Folks, there's got to be proof. If the Bible is silent, the old phrase that we use, if the Bible is silent, we are silent. If the Bible speaks, we speak. You see, that's what the one gospel is about. Because if the gospel is from a different source, it's from a different way, it cannot be the gospel. And what was happening in the days of Paul was that they were getting this from a different source. And then, excuse me, secondly, we've got to check our biases. In Acts chapter 15, we kind of get a little bit of a background as to what was going on in the New Testament time, because there were teachers that were going about among the churches that were in the churches now. These are not outside the church. These are not people that are, again, in the New Testament time, there actually was only one church. There wasn't a multiplicity of churches. Even in the New Testament time, there was only one church. But within the church, within the body of Christ, there were certain men, chapter 15, verse 1, who came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Down in verse 5, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, some men, not identified, began teaching the necessity of circumcision for salvation. Well, the reason is because, in verse 5, they were of the sect of the Pharisees, and the sect of the Pharisees wanted to keep the traditions of the old law. Now, we know that under the old law, in order to be a child of God, you had to be circumcised. It's just, if you were not circumcised, you were cut off. In the New Testament times, that was done away with. And yet there were those in the church that had once served under the law that were now Christians, but they were coming up and saying, well, now circumcision is required to be saved. Now God wasn't saying there was anything wrong with circumcision in and of itself. But when you come along and say that that is necessary for salvation, because it is necessary to circumcise them, then that becomes a false teaching. That becomes fake news. That becomes a different gospel, because God never said that. And so that's an example about what Paul is dealing with, even in the churches of Galatia, is the fact that they were doing so, they wanted to keep the tradition of the old law and maintain their positions of authority. And the result was that the early Christians, if you go down to verse 24, this is in Acts 15, verse 24. What did this different gospel do? It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord. Verse 24 is what I should be reading. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you, disturbed you with words, unsettling your soul, saying you must be... Well, that's what a different gospel does. It's unsettling. It's like, well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the book says. And so what happened is that the gospel was contrary to what they had heard and believed. And that's what happens with the gospel. And we ought to be disturbed when we hear things that don't come from the Word of God, because then that becomes indeed another gospel. Another gospel is a gospel of self-righteousness. You know, when you think about some of the things that even people are taught today, that you're saved by works, Paul says that we're saved by the grace of God. And yet there's the idea that, well, as long as you just do these things and whatever, you'll be saved. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the fact that if someone is not preaching the gospel of grace, they're not preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, does that mean that works is not important? No, works is important. Faith is important. Grace is important. Mercy is important. But the idea that, well, you're just saved by works. But then the other side of that is that people say, well, you're saved without works. That's more predominant. The idea that you don't have to do anything, once saved, always saved. And that's the other extreme. And basically it says it doesn't matter what we do, as we're going to be saved. Well, that's why that's a different gospel. And that's predominant in the denominations today of people who teach that you don't have to do anything. Basically, just accept Christ as your personal Savior, say the sinner's prayer. That's a different gospel. God never said that. Do you see how that upsets things, that makes a difference? And we've got to see that that's where that comes from, is that people are being taught that and accepting that simply because, well, so-and-so said that. That's what so-and-so believes, and so that's what I believe. We've got to check the word. Now I'm going to use another modern word. We've got to be aware of the clickbait. Clickbait is the content that is intentionally... overpromises or misrepresents in order, you find it on the web, and it's kind of drives you crazy on Facebook and other things. And what it's trying to do is it's trying to deceive you into believing something. And the different gospel does is it misrepresents things. The problem with the different gospel is it's a lot like the real thing. Have you ever noticed a lot of people, what they believe, you can say, well, you know, you and I believe a lot alike. We got a few differences, but that's okay. Rat poison is good to eat. Children, do not do this at home. Rat poison is made up of 98% cornmeal. I love cornmeal. I wished I had some cornmeal in cornbread with some... That ain't going to happen today. Maybe we will go to Cracker Barrel. Cornmeal's good. It's the 2% poison that kills the rat. And the gospel is something that it looks really good, but it's deceptive. You know, do you think that Paul was popular when he would pronounce a curse? Did you notice? Go back to our text in Galatians chapter 1. Because Paul gives a very stern warning about all of those who would turn from another gospel. Here's the thing. In verse 8, even if we, including himself, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed. And he repeats it for emphasis' sake. Because that's how serious it is. And even Paul says, I cannot preach what I want to preach, or necessarily what I think would be a good idea, is that he says, let them be anathema. Anathema means devoted to destruction and delivered up to divine wrath. He was a bondservant of Christ, he called himself. And do you think that it was popular? Do you think when the Galatians read this, maybe some people would read this, do you think that it made him popular to pronounce a curse on an angel, an apostle, himself, or any other man who preached a different gospel? Do you think that made him popular in the churches of Galatia? No. Why? Because that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what people like to do today is that they preach a Christ that is very different from the real Christ. They preach a gospel that is without suffering. Maybe the health and wealth kind of a gospel. Have you ever noticed that how people are drawn to another gospel and that there's no sacrifice that's required? I mean, it's asking too much of you in a life that's already demanding. There's no service to be rendered. You just have to accept Christ and go out and do your life. That's a different gospel. You don't have to go to church. Oh, you don't have to do anything. You just be a good person, believe in God, and you're going to be fine. That's another gospel, a different gospel. Everything else is about you. I mean, why should religion be about you? This is the gospel of convenience. This is the gospel of ease. In other words, hey, here's the deal. Do the bare minimum and that's okay. That's too good to be. That's a different gospel. That's not the gospel of Christ. A different gospel has to have a different end. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to save. Anything else will not bring a man to God. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way. You can't go any other way. There's only one way, and Jesus specifically says, I'm it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you love me, keep my commandments. All the things that Jesus emphasizes. And for and that should be 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse 8. What does Paul tell us about those who are going to be saved? This is the purity of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8. That with the coming of the Lord, that in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the Lord comes back, he's going to take vengeance on two classes of people. Those who do not know God. They just refuse to accept God as being who he is. But then there are those who accept God, but they will not obey what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And they also will be destroyed. Why? Because that's a different gospel. And that's a different kind of a gospel. And Paul says that those who preach such things need to be anathema. Do not be fooled into believing that every gospel preached today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, and he is telling them, these children of God, these are elders, these are shepherds, man. He is saying to them, from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Even the Holy Spirit warns in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 that in latter times some will what? Depart from the faith. They'll give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to be abstained from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And that's what happens to the gospel. That's the reality. We should never accept the gospel just simply because, well, it's in a Church of Christ building, and he's wearing a nice tie, and it's with a group of people, and he's a Gator fan. I mean, you know, what? That should never be the qualifications at all. It should be the qualifications of the Bereans, who in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, that they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. You see, the problem in the churches of Galatia is the reason that he was amazed that they were turning away so soon to another gospel is because they had allowed another gospel to change their mind. They were not being attentive. They were not being careful about what they believed. And yet we have the same challenge today, that if the gospel is good news, a different gospel is not good news. And who do I believe? Do I believe me, or do I believe the gospel of Christ? I can't save you. You can't save yourself in that sense. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can save you. But that's a decision that you have to make. And again, to remind ourselves of that scene of Judgment Day, which is such an incredible thing to imagine. On the day of judgment, every human being that walks upon the face of this earth is going to be there, from Adam until the last person, and you and I. We're going to be with the whole company of all humanity that have ever existed, standing before God, and we're going to be all by ourselves. We're going to be alone. Because you can't answer for me, and I can't answer for you. I'm going to answer for myself. And that answer has got to be what I believe and what I follow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The consequences are eternal if you follow another gospel. It exists in a lot of different forms. I've got to follow the gospel and the message. And that's the invitation. To come to Jesus and to follow after His will and be obedient only to His word. And to live by that so that we can be found faithful on that final day. Think of these things just together we stand as we sing.